this week, on the 7th of March 2020, Kwasi Appiah, remember him, had a headed goal disallowed as what proved to be the Dons' final match at King's Meadow ended in a nil-nil draw after a dour contest with fellow strugglers Bolton Wanderers. It turned out to be the fans were watching the final knock-ins of the 2019-20 campaign as the COVID-19 virus was soon to set the season to be suspended, with Wimbledon relieved to find themselves just above the relegation zone. A little bit of controversy from those times. Heady days. Anyhow, here we are. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Welcome, dear listener. I am Matt Cooper, and today we're all a little bit down after the last couple of results, and I am joined by the producer, Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
There you are. He's concentrating on wiping his glasses. And our football expert and guru of all knowledge, Mr. Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark.
Good evening. Does that mean I'm actually able to give some stats this week for a change?
Mate, you can give all the stats you want. Anything that hides our disappointment over the last
The
two
most amusing
occasions.
thing is, obviously, you can find whatever you want to on social media. But a quick scout around at full time last night because I was spitting feathers and I gave myself a massive headache by literally banging my head against one of my doors about halfway through the second half yesterday. And I went online and I found all these really foaming at the mouth type fans. And the most fascinating thing is they were all Port Vale fans and Crewe fans and Walsall fans and obviously Wimbledon fans. The only fans that were in any way happy about life were the people that have just won 10 home games in a row,
Oh no.
namely Bradford City. And we appear to be the only team to have been able to beat Bradford since God was a boy, which doesn't really help us right now because they're swanning away with it. And by the look of it, Bradford will be champions and Walsall will fall away, which may or may not help us. But more of that later.
I mean, it's just, I always find it amazing that whenever we lose, it's just like it's the end of the world. And everyone online just completely loses their shit. I mean, I think a lot of us would be looking at the last two matches thinking six, at least 4 points, if not six. And to come away with nothing was horrendous. The Bromley game was just incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And I'm just wondering, we talked last week about, possible changes of formation. Are we being found out in some way or another? Because it feels to me like what we aim to do is get the ball wide and then cross it in. Okay. And then have someone on the end of it. That's the aim. So we get it out to Nova, we get it out to Tilly, and we try and we're getting the then we get the balls into the box. So if you can get someone out to Tilly or Nerfell and make it as difficult as possible to cross the ball in, and then have someone who's marking Matty Stevens, who, let's face it, isn't the tallest player in the world. Or bugle, then, you've effectively nullified what we're about. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know, Mark, what do you think?
League team football's not that complicated. I mean, none of us are football gurus at all, obviously,
Apart
even
from
though we're
yourself,
pronounced to be.
apart from
Yeah.
yourself.
No, I mean, I think you've summed it up really quite accurately there, Matt. Frankly, how do you score goals in League Two? Well, watch the highlights week in, week out. Defenders make mistakes because they're regularly put under pressure. If we don't put people under pressure, what are they going to do? If you lump the ball in from sides or just as a long ball, strangely enough, defenders of various shapes, sizes, and ages are not really going to be troubled in terms of how strong their legs are, one way or the other. So they'll get the ball clear. I mean, one positive I didn't make Saturday's game. I was in Wales having a beautiful time with the family in the sunshine, watching a theatre performance, and it sounds like I got the best end of the deal, frankly. But
What was the
watching last
show?
night's game, Maycock was back, and Maycock was actually making runs beyond the man on the ball, beyond the strikers, and it was like a breath of fresh air, frankly. Still don't know what's going on with Ball, still don't know what's going on with Hippolyte, but Maycock being back, he played 65 or so minutes yesterday because that's the minimum that Jackson needs to make a king substitution. And he was a breath of fresh air, and frankly, more people do things like that, as in get themselves into the box, not just stand on the side of the box waiting for someone else to do it, so much the better.
I mean, it was just Saturday's was particularly frustrating, mainly because I live very near Bromley. I actually had to come back via Bromley, which was just awful. Fortunately, I managed to leave early. Well, no, I left at full time and ran to Hayden's Road, so I managed to outrun the any of the Bromley fans, and I think they were still, I
The
don't know,
Bromley Massive.
they were still trying to read the signs. Anyhow, but it was just awful. And I think, you know, some of us older supporters have long memories, and that game at Hayes Lane back in our non-league days will always live with me. Just appalling. So I can't get over that.
No, nor
I hold
should
a
you.
grudge. It's like a 20,
But
what's
Bromley
a
can fuck
15
off,
year grudge?
frankly.
Yeah. A 15 year grudge. But yeah, and it was just so infuriating. And I wasn't even paying attention when we conceded the goal because it looked like nothing was going on. So I was looking elsewhere, and suddenly they'd scored. It was just horrific. But Adam, you saw it. You looked back on the goal. It was dreadful.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad. It was literally punted it up, and then it was just I don't whatever whichever defender it was, they just totally made a mistake. Who was it, Mark?
Short shorts.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah, Lewis.
Lewis made an
Yeah.
absolute
Edge.
mistake, and Goodman made a mistake, and it was just like it was just comedy, comedy. Yeah, I thought it looked bad in real life, and it was right at the other end of the pitch, so my terrible eyesight was just about coping. But when I watched it on the replay, it was just like, oh my word. Like Mark says, it's like this is like when they punt it like that, you should just be clearing it. I don't know what they did. There was some major like mess up. Yeah, I guess they got a bit, you know, it was also disappointing because a lot of people were they'd sold a lot of tickets to new people, that kind of stuff. It was busy. Lots of people sitting around us were new. And it seems to me again that every time we have loads of new people, that we go and make an absolute hash of the game, and it's not that exciting. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm not saying that it put them off, but it probably did a little bit.
Unless they're American, of course.
Well, that's true.
Quick interjection. We have to say hello and happy birthday to Trisha because it's Trisha's birthday today. And all she said was she wants promotion for her birthday, which isn't much to ask, right?
No, exactly. Well, we're wishing a happy birthday. She was a lovely guest. And I'm promising you all, dear listener, we are going to have a guest on next week. So we're hoping to hear back from the Wowzer event that's taking place on Thursday. We're recording this on Wednesday, so it's taking place tomorrow, which sounds like an amazing event. We'll come on to that in a bit. But we love having guests on.
I was going to say the other really depressing thing about Saturday, other than the game, was that I thought I'm not going to go home yet. I'm going to go to the man of the match. It was the worst. It was like the worst.
Was there a man of the match?
Yeah, of course there was a man of the match, but it was the worst like event version of it because it literally was like I don't know. I can't remember which man of the match it was. Literally was dragged out and like you're a man of the match. There were some sponsors, and he scuttled back off, obviously to the changing room to be reprimanded for. Well, I know Jackson afterwards didn't say it was, he didn't think it was such a bad performance and that there wouldn't be massive changes,
Yeah,
but.
but is he just glossing over stuff? I mean, Jake Greaves' interview last night. Yes, he's captain, and you don't expect him to throw his teammates under the bus. But his body language was, I'm really, really, really fucked off, which is fair enough because they didn't play well. But then he says, oh, we played really well. It's like, on what planet? I don't want to turn into a shock jock, but on what planet did you play well? He clearly didn't trust the pitch, but they weren't blaming the pitch. But every time he got the ball, he hoofed it rather than trying to play it. He's a really good footballer. Be a really good footballer. I mean, Hutchinson is 5, 6, 7 years older than the rest of our team, and he's the one that had oomph, a little too much oomph, and was dangerously close to being sent off again, and somehow got away with it. But No one else seemed to be prepared to bring the ball forward.
Well, it's weird. I didn't see the Tuesday night game, and haven't watched any of the vlogs or the replays or whatever.
Because Adam, we don't like watching us lose.
No,
so I'm why not, would
yeah,
you?
Exactly.
That's why I didn't watch the Bromley goal back. I don't like.
But I was like, the annoying thing about it was on Saturday, when the Saturday game started, it was like it's the same team lineup, the same thing, blah blah blah. And it was like, okay. And I was, as Matthew said, have we kind of been found out? And so I was like, we should mix it up a bit. Stop playing the same team. That's why we lost on Saturday. And of course, it got mixed up. So I'm like, yeah, look, I know something about football. It got mixed up. We're definitely going to win. And I'm thinking, I was like, oh, we should have recorded the podcast beforehand. I would have said this and it would have been so astute, blah, blah, blah. Of course, we lost. So now I'm like, okay, it would have made me look even worse.
Well, I mean, it's so strange to me. I don't understand. I can understand making a couple of changes. I totally get making a couple of changes and then make more changes in the game. But to make, what was it? Four or five changes. It felt like wholesale changes to me. I just felt that was too much. You make a couple of changes, you make two, three at the most changes, but it just felt like it was too much. And people obviously were not communicating with each other. So it was difficult. It's really ridiculous.
The one for me is I think we have certain players who, if they start a game, will be fine. They'll work their way in there. Maybe they need to warm themselves up mentally and physically. But if you put them on the bench, by the time they've done that mental and physical warm-up, the game's finished. I mean, yeah. Omar came on last night, barely noticed him. Tilly came on last night in the last knockings, barely noticed him. Stevens apparently was on the pitch, but it was actually him getting caught offside which caused me to bang mad against the wall in frustration of how ridiculously stupid that was. Certain players, yeah, Marcus Brown, again, was it a Marcus Brown kind of game? No. Do you think that he can impose himself on that kind of pitch that looked like they'd been playing cricket on it in the corner? Absolutely not. Play some tried and trusted, doughty midfield players. Win the ball. Win the right to play. That's what you got to do in League Two.
It was a good. I was going to say it was a really.
But we didn't.
It's a really good. Yeah, I mean, like Mark sort of joked about the time that bringing subs on, and it frustrates me anyway. But it's obviously the new thing. You just don't bring him on that early, and you give him 30 seconds of gameplay, which just seems ridiculous. But the bench looked like. When they said who was coming on off the bench, I'm like, well, that's some super subbing, like those players. But again, it comes back, they didn't have enough. They don't, like Mark says, they don't get. I don't know what they're doing, but they're obviously just coming on slow. I don't know whether they need to sprint up and down the sides more and think about football more before they actually run on. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think what worries me is that it starts to become a mindset, and I think a couple of games. So now it's start. Now we're starting to get to a point of. Is there a mistake in us? So we're not scoring, and is there a mistake in us at the back? And that is a dangerous combination. So then you worry mentally. Do players then sit back because they're worried about making a mistake, and so they've got to cover each other. And then obviously we don't have anything going forwards. And it almost takes a wonder goal. For us to score now. If you look at some of the goals we've scored, they've been incredible. Tilly scored a couple of amazing goals. Brown's goal was incredible as well. So it's not like that's my point. Although we're trying to work the ball wide and then cross the ball in, it worked once, didn't it, against Salford? If I remember rightly.
And in that Bromley game, there almost was a wonder goal, which I don't even think it made it to the highlights. But great, fantastic save. But it's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So how do we, getting the ball in the box, and if you've only literally got a couple of players to hit, and they're not the tallest, so maybe that's what. Maybe his thought was, putting Piggott on, you add a bit of height. Maybe that's what his thinking was. There's a lot of anger about not having Farrow on the Osman Farrow on the subs bench, let alone on the pitch. We brought this guy in. It looks like he's a next for next season. So we just.
But he's a bit different. That to me, you hit the nail on the head, Matt, is we're not different. We are relatively straightforward to play against, it seems, because we're not offering different things, and even the options off the bench are just offering the same kind of like for like comparison, really, which is really frustrating. But here's a mad stat for you that someone came up with this morning. And I know you love your numbers, so I'll give you a
Chuck out
chance
some
to
stuff.
guess
I'm
this
loving
before
it.
I give you
I'm
the
loving it.
answer.
Yo.
So from the 1st of September to Christmas Day, we played 16 games. How many points do you reckon we got in those 16 games?
From the 1st of September till.
Christmas Day, this season, but last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It wasn't that great, was it? We were.
Like 24?
No.
How on
12.
earth?
12.
And what? We won like five home games in a row, you
Yeah, 15.
muppet. Adam was bang on straight away. 24 points in 16 games,
Bang!
which is 1.5 points per game, right?
Yeah.
Right now, we're in a slump of two draws and two defeats. One win in five games, and that was 5 games ago.
Can I just say that I didn't know the
And long
answer?
ago,
I
we've all
did not
forgotten
know the
about
answer. I
that.
didn't know the question in advance. I literally didn't know.
Uh,
All right, let's see
Adam,
if you
do
can
you
get
know
this
what?
one.
Adam, I genuinely don't think anyone thought you knew the answer. No
Absolutely
one,
not.
no one thinks that. It's
Including
fine.
last night's game and including the last four games, when we've
Yeah.
won zero and drawn two, between Boxing Day and last night, including last night, how many points did we manage to
And
achieve
I know now
in 14 games?
because I can work out the maths, can't I? Because I know how many points we've got total. We got 57 points total.
No, because that was,
Oh.
I said the 1st of September, I didn't say for the beginning of the
Yeah.
season, did I?
Oh.
So, Boxing Day until today, how many points in 14 games?
Do you know what? I've got to go. What was the last one? Was it in how many games was
The
that
last
in the
one was
last?
24 points in 16 games.
Yeah, I'm going 24 points.
High or low, Mr. Proctor?
No, that would be fun if it's 24 points as well.
Yeah, that's what I think it
It
is.
is
That's why I
indeed
think. That's why I
24
think.
points. But the
Yeah,
point is,
yeah,
the
yeah,
point of the stat is that's 24 points in two fewer games. So it doesn't
yes.
feel like it, but actually we are outperforming our autumn stats, which is
Listen,
bizarre in itself.
at some point we were going to have a slump. Crew had a slump, and they're bouncing back. Port Vale are doing a bit better now. They've had a slump. You know, we are. We were. This is our slump time. Bromley have always got a thing on us. And going to, like I said, going to Morecambe. If you're travelling on the day to Morecambe, and you're playing that evening, you're going to be tired, and you're playing on a sand pitch, but sand pit by the sounds of it. So it's, you know, it's a really long way to go because I'm not, you know, these are the little bits. These are the little bits that make a difference. So yes, we are throwing out excuses. We are throwing excuses, but those. That's,
But we
you know.
can't. I mean, Jackson said he thought we should have won Saturday. I didn't see the game at all, so I really can't comment overall. But as you say, it sounded like a typical Bromley type game.
Yeah. They
But why are we making excuses? Is it, now it's, for example, I know it's not Warsaw, and I know that we're not really bothered by other teams, but Warsaw are blowing up big time. And apparently they've got fans claiming their manager needs to be sacked. They're still top of the table. They're only two
it's
points clear, and now
I
not
know.
15, but they're still
Yeah,
top of the table.
it's crazy. It's really crazy. I mean, but for me, their situation is reminiscent of us last season when we lost Al Hamady. They have lost their focal point, haven't they? They've lost their main striker, and that's what's gone wrong for Walsall. And it's not just the scoring goals; it's something else. You feel like, you know, like you've got that bit of magic, that someone who can do something, and you know, it lifts the whole dressing room.
So do you, I mean, I'm now worried that we're gonna say that the 12:30 kickoff is an excuse. It's like
Well, the last time we played 12:30, we won.
true. Maybe it's because it's nearer
So,
the fried breakfasts or whatever they have these days.
well, I mean, I think my sense is that when we play sides that come to attack us, we're a what's it called? We like to go on the
Counter-attacking team.
break. You're a counter-attacking team. Thank you, Mark. I completely forgot my words there. We're a counter-attacking team. So this is what happens. And Notts County are going to want to come at us. And I remember that, wasn't it, last season we beat them, was it 4-2? And that was counter-attacking football. And I'm assuming that that's what we'll do again. Whereas the two sides we've played against, Bromley and Morecambe, are sitting back and they're counter-attacking, and we don't know what to do sometimes when we've got possession of the ball. If we're counter-attacking, what your hope is that they're leaving players up the pitch, which gives Tilly and Nerfell a bit of freedom to, when they cross the ball in, you've probably got less defenders who are marking the likes of Stevens and Bugle. So you've got more opportunities. But if you're a Bromley or a Morecambe, you're sitting back and you're waiting for us to make a mistake. That's, you know, and it's going to be interesting what side he plays. I mean, I'm assuming now that Maycock has made his way into the starting 11 over Smith. So I think Maycock will probably be in there. I'm sure he'll revert to Bugle and Matty Stevens. It's whether he keeps Hutchinson at the back or goes back to Oggs. I would have thought that would be what happens. Do you think, Mark?
Oggs never did anything to deserve to be rested, frankly, and he didn't come on at all. But equally, without Hutchinson, for example, I don't see any get up and go in the team. I mean, as the song goes, Jake Reeves in the middle of our team is usually the conductor for everything. But at the moment, he looks frustrated. He looks fed up. He looks like, he feels like everyone looks to him to determine everything, but he's not determining anything either. He's not shooting amazingly from distance. His corners are not finding anyone except the goalkeeper's hands. So, unfortunately, heresy perhaps to say that someone like Reeves is the weakest link right now. But actually, if and when you get a Hippolyte and a Ball fit again, actually, is it the likes of Reeves and Smith that we should be resting rather than the likes of Tilly and Bugle? And I certainly can't afford, unfortunately, to rest Josh Nerfield whatsoever. But as a result, it's getting a little bit like Bugle last season in that he's running himself into the ground.
Well, he's also getting double marked now, isn't he, every game? So he's struggling. I mean, on Saturday...
Yeah, but Jackson made a big deal out of the wonderful tactical thing he did with that was on Sky a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
What you do, which is basically showing everybody in League Two, oh, look, here's a great tactic.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fucking idiot. I'm sorry, but don't do it on Sky Sports.
I was waiting for Mark to lose his shit, man, because... I agree with you. Looking at that,
it always will be, but sometimes
I know. Looking at that, I did think that was, and so ever since that goal, and ever since he was on Sky Sports showing that, it's like we haven't scored since, or we haven't scored like that since. It's
on Saturday,
it's kind of obvious.
On Saturday, Omar and Stevens really didn't seem to be in the game at all. So I wonder what... I don't really know what that was.
You've got to create chances for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Maycock's creating chances for them. But like Matt says, if we're in a counter-attacking team, do some counter-attacking then.
Yeah.
Smith and Reeves are great to be able to break the play up, but you've got to move everything 20 yards further forward. The only person doing that last night was coming from the back was Sam Hutchinson. The tackle he was booked for, which is a completely fair challenge. I have no idea what happened. There wasn't even a foul, let alone a yellow card. But that was him coming forward and just slightly overrunning the ball. But no one else is doing it. You know, Lewis doesn't really like doing it and likes playing his big crossfields. Johnson certainly doesn't like doing it. So if you do bring Oggs back in, to answer Matt's question from earlier, then you've got to say to him, fine, but you've got to get up the pitch. Because if the back three get up the pitch, then Smith and Reeves can't sit inside our half around the halfway line. They have to sit 10 yards outside the penalty area, at which point everybody's pushed up. We're pressed up. I mean, again, Notts County, you read Notts County fans on social media, and they're talking about four players, including obviously Alex Bass, who they would keep. Four players.
Wow.
But I mean, the article that's been written by the Notts County fan, which I helped commission, he's talking about the fact that Jody Jones and David McGoldrick are their two key light conductors in terms of creativity in midfield, but they're both injured and they've been injured for a lot of the season. So the chance and the opportunity is there, but we have to be brave enough to want to take it. Not pass the ball sideways to your mate and say, you do it. Have a shot from 25 yards. Get the crowd up. Get the crowd going.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. I mean, on Saturday, we had a wonderful, there was a free kick outside the area, which Brown took, parried by the keeper, fell to Stevens. I mean, it was a very tight angle for him to score it. I mean, we always say you could have squared it, but the truth is it was happening so quickly. And then there was a great save by their keeper. But a lot of our shots, and we were saying we had 17 compared to their 10, I think it was something like that. But a lot of our shots were further out. Their shots were actually closer to the goal than we had. So you're right. We need to work something out. And yeah, we need to stop being so upset and depressed. But at the moment, we're still in the playoff places. I think we're good. We've got 4 points over eighth, whatever it is. So I think we're still in the playoffs. So let's not get too despondent at the moment. It's going to be very interesting, as you were saying, watching Walsall. I think it's going to be a very interesting mark because I agree. I think Bradford going to go on and win the league. Whether Walsall drop enough to end up in the playoffs, that would be very interesting. And I wonder if they do something really stupid, if they start to get into the, if they drop into the playoffs, do they sack their manager, which would just be like incredible. But
well,
I don't put anything beyond football.
It's where's the level of expectation?
Mm.
And Walsall's expectation wasn't playoffs. I think ours possibly was.
It was by me.
Oh, I think ours. I think all of us at the start of the season were taking playoffs. None of us were talking about automatic promotion. We all said playoffs. I think the trouble is that we flirted with the automatic places and we've lost a couple of games or drawn games where, if you think about it, Colchester, we should have had two more points. That was ridiculous to give away, go in the last minute. And, you'd have thought we should have taken something out of Bromley on Morecambe. So I think we've dropped at least four, if not 7 points.
The other interesting comparison I saw was the league table on the 1st of just January compared to today. So the 1st of January, Walsall's still top, 23, 52 points. Doncaster, 24, 40. Salford were third, 23, 39. Crewe, fourth, 23, 39. Port Vale, fifth, 24, 38. And obviously we had our games in hand, most of which have been played now. We were sixth, 22, 37. Notts County, 23, 37. Bradford were ninth, 23, 35. Today, Walsall 35, 30, 68, Bradford 35, 66, Doncaster 35, 61, Notts County 34, 57, we are 34, 57. So we still have that game in hand, which is Cheltenham next Tuesday. Port Vale now have a game in hand on us. Same points played, same games played. But with everyone else winning, Bradford's goal difference has shot up. It's now plus 19, and we're only plus 21. So, all to play for. Crewe falling away, and Crewe have got to play every one of those teams in and around there except us in a six game stretch from mid March to mid April.
Oof. This is great, Mark. These are some good stats you're throwing at us here. I'm liking it. It's going to be very, very tight. It's going to be very interesting. We now need to pick ourselves up. So what can I ask? Is a draw a good enough result on Saturday? I mean, like, because that's...
Easy to say no.
Yeah.
Easy to say no. But if it keeps another relegation, sorry, another promotion rival at bay, so to speak, then... Maybe not. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world.
I think we need a point.
Because I could just imagine...
We need a point.
Imagine three defeats on a row and all of a sudden the mood changes completely. And that's going to be, and that'll be really difficult. And then the Cheltenham game becomes even bigger because we will definitely have to, pick up... Well, you'd have to win that game. So I think it's going to be it's difficult, but we were due a slump, as we were saying.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true, but I suppose, yeah.
Everyone has it, otherwise they wouldn't be playing League Two. frankly, in terms of the level of quality
true.
of the players.
That's true. Yep. Do you, Cheltenham's still quite a way away. So do you think, are we going to go the day before or not? You know.
Well, hopefully not, because it's a home game, Adam.
It's a home game. Let's not travel to Cheltenham.
No, sorry, I forgot. I've got to do. Yeah, of course, my brain. It's because I was going to do.
Fair play. Apparently, they were something like 70 Cheltenham fans at Bradford last night. And fair play to the 98 Wimbledon fans that went. And actually, I entirely understand some general venom that was seen on social media there as to, you know, people saying they should have been given their ticket. We've had their ticket money refunded and so on and so forth.
Yep. That is a very, very long way to go on a Tuesday. So annoying the way the fixtures run out. Anyhow, right. Chaps, we've run out of our anger here with these last two games. We're going to look forward to the Notts County. It's going to be cool. We go to it. It's going to be fine. I'm going to have to arrive dead early if I want to get anything from my pie. I don't understand. The queues have just got crazy at the moment, food wise.
Well, the attendance is good, and if these are all new fans, as Adam mentioned, that's why they're all trying out the fine fare.
That's right. I mean, we had over 8,000 on Saturday. I'm assuming we'll have roughly the same figure on this coming Saturday as well, which is phenomenal. I think, Mark, you should know this with your stats head on. What are we at the moment? Are we like the fourth or fifth biggest attendance in home attendance in League Two?
I should know this, but I don't. I would have said yes. Bradford will be higher than us, as they still do ridiculously cheap season tickets, although they still can't fill the whole ground because it's a massive ground.
Yeah.
Swindon's is pretty high considering they've been best mid-table fodder. Notts County, I believe, obviously Nottingham's a reasonably big football city overall, sports city overall. I'm not quite sure who else will be up and around there really, because Walsall won't be particularly high.
No, I have a feeling that Chesterfield might be the other side that are ahead of us. But
possibly.
Not sure.
But again, they're sort of thereabouts around mid-table as well. It's nothing really to write home about.
But the fact is that, you know, we are doing incredibly well. And there are certain sides in our division that are doing really rather poorly with their attendances are quite low. And I believe that there's another manager that's lost its job during the last week or so.
He did a very good job there, wasn't he?
Yeah. They're doing, and I think the new people have carried that on as well. So,
I think Mr. Lebanon Evans is definitely not regretting his decision to take 40 pieces of silver, is he?
Literally, I think £50 more a week. So, yeah. Anyhow, let's talk very, very briefly about the women's game, and this is, I think, we're coming up to International Women's Week. International Women's Day, and a lot of fantastic things going on. I've noticed across football, which is brilliant, a game that should be celebrated. A few things to talk about. First of all, I just want to get some business out of the way. There is a panel. I hope this might go out on Thursday morning. So on Thursday evening at the Chamber of Records Stadium, or Plough Lane, as we like to call it, there is a panel event with some amazing women panellists. It's free tickets. This has been produced by Wowza, which is a great nickname. So we've got, there's Sophie Hopkins, I think he's the former Olympic rower, gold medalist, who's going to be on the panel. Our local MP will be introducing the event as well. And then there's some, people from the previous Wimbledon era, including, I think, someone who was there when the club was first set up, the women's team was first set up. And we were set, I think our trajectory is we were friends of Fulham first, and then they transferred over to Wimbledon and now the Wimbledon ladies team, which is brilliant. And then obviously on Sunday, the big match is against Ipswich. I think Ipswich are flying high in the league, and that's going to be a great occasion as well. And I know that you're all expecting to see us, the same old Wombles, at the Ipswich game, because we've talked about it from the start of the season about going to see a women's game. We were very excited to go, and this is the one at Plough Lane. But my daughter is in a cup semi-final game. So, you know, I won't be able to get along to it. And I know that Mark and Adam have got some feeble excuses as well.
Talking of feeble excuses, would you like to actually get the panel completely listed correctly as I've got them up now?
Excellent. Yeah, that faffing that I was doing, or filibustering, as I think we like to call it, was so that you could get to that panel quickly.
So you have Jenny Archer, who obviously used to be the fitness coach and latterly has worked with David Weir, that a lot of people will be aware of with regards to Olympic and Paralympic activities. Awesome. You have Sophie Hoskin.
Hoskins. I was close.
G, who obviously was an Olympic rower.
Yes.
Tammy Parler, who I should know more about but don't, but definitely is well known up in women's football. And a very recognisable surname here of Charlotte Samuelson, who, if anyone doesn't know, is actually Eric's daughter-in-law. And Charlotte herself is, I believe, either chief exec or former senior member of staff at Surrey County Cricket Club.
Brilliant. Well,
so definitely high-ranking, very knowledgeable women in different sports, all of whom obviously have a direct connection through to AFC Wimbledon.
Cool. Right, chaps. Well, listen, I'm seeing the time, and we're going to have to sign off in a minute. I was going to have a chat about the fact that the Women's Super League are talking about banning relegation. It's just
wrong,
like, oh,
wrong.
Exactly. Can we just stop that? Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't need to have a chat. We just say it's wrong. It's just a bad, bad idea.
Yeah, it's wrong. So
the one thing to mention about the women, to be fair, about our women's team this season is that they went up into a league with much greater resources. Their aim was obviously consolidate and get themselves comfortable. They had to replace a lot of players in their team because a number of their players were not in a position to be able to play because they were travelling far and wide, and they had away games at places like Exeter and Newport and so on. So they've got a number of new players in the team with the likes of Anna Billingham and Ashley Hinks, obviously, who've been around for several years. One of their goalkeepers turned up pre-season training pregnant and has recently had a baby, so congratulations to them.
And that and they, is all we have time
all
for.
Of that, despite yeah. all of that, they're comfortable in mid-table.
Brilliant. On that bombshell, we are the same old Wombles. We'll be back again with a longer episode next week. Thank you very much. Adam, Mark, my name's Matt Cooper. Same old Wombles. We'll be back.
Why does it not have countdown right to the end? Like, it's so annoying.
I didn't see that. I was wondering why he's suddenly going on extended.
Yeah, because it says
less than a minute.
It says less than a minute, but it's been saying less than a minute. And it's, I was